This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the now training for the Disney Marathon, Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Week four.
Week four of your training. How many miles did you do last weekend?
I did the same as you, I think, because you and I are buddies on Apple Watch. I did 8 miles, and as I mentioned, I'm doing the Peloton training. So this week I dropped down to 4 miles, but okay. I'm doing strength on every other day and really hurt my arm today.
So oh, dear.
We'll see how that goes.
Hey.
I can hardly lift up my arm, but I just want to say that I don't talk about the Disney parks. I talk about the Disney packs.
Packs. We were talking about accents before we started recording. So the Boston accents are kicking in.
Speaking of accents, right?
Speaking of accents, you beat me to the charm. Is the wonderfully accented Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
You're trying so hard.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had to park the car.
Park the car. Even when he tries to do a Boston accent, he can't do it, right?
Yeah.
You're right.
So can you try to say park the car?
Park the car.
We're going to get you some R's for Christmas. Just like a big old box of R's.
I mean, just what so R. I can say, I can call it a spar.
Oh, Michael, spar. You're wicked smart.
Wicked smart.
So welcome back to another episode. Today's episode, we're going to cover a few different things. First being speaking of the Disney Marathon, we're going to talk about the Disney Marathon. The new medals were revealed this week, so we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to go over the Genie and Genie Plus systems. I have no clue. I got a basic working knowledge of it. But I want Mike to teach me a little bit more. And then we might have some time for those hard ticket nighttime events like Boobash. And what is it called now? It's not Very Merry. It's
Very Merriest, I think.
Very Merriest. Yeah. So we're going to start with that.
Yeah. And there's one important component of both parties that I think everyone should be aware of before they dip into it.
Okay. Well, we'll get there when we get there. So, yeah. First up, Michelle, you know, it's funny. I got a message from my friend Nate this week. When they announced the Disney Marathons and we were going to sign up for them, I'm sure like we used to do in the old days, we were on there getting ready to sign up for your event as quick as possible with fear that we were going to miss out. And I was able to get in and sign up me, my wife, my two nieces, and my two sons for all of their races on my account, which was amazing. So
I'm sure your credit card company was
happy. They were just having fun with us. My sons are doing the half with us. My one niece is doing the half. And then the other niece is doing the goofy with us. But the interesting thing is Nate sent me an image, which was that every race is sold out except for the goofy and the dopey. And then you sent me a note this week saying what?
All the virtual races are sold out. And this is compliments of my friend Justin, actually, who sends me some tips every now and then. All of the virtual races are sold out. And what were we talking about? Was it $480 for the dopey? For the virtual dopey.
Virtual dopey. So you're just paying $480 for like 5-6 medals. What? How many medals is that? It's six medals.
Six medals and 6 shirts, and right. You're running all by yourself. And you know, whatever. People do whatever they need to do. It wouldn't be a choice that I would make. That's a heck of a lot of money for that. So yeah, I don't know. Would you do it? Would you do virtual?
You know, when we were doing. Earlier, a couple of years ago, the first virtual race came up, and you guys were like, "Hey, we're gonna splurge. We're gonna buy you that thing to test it out." And it was sort of like
there was you could print out your
bib, and then you get the medal later on, and it was like, "Oh, that's nice." Like, as much as I say I love getting the medals, the bling, as people like to say, I do enjoy just being there in the crowds, even though the concern right now about crowds.
The scenery.
Yeah, it's just running through the parks and having that experience, and just being silly. Like, I love the idea that when we were running through, some of our friends would jump on Expedition Everest in the middle of the race.
I did that.
You can't do that at home. Like, that's not something you can do at home. But I do love, as painful as it is in the morning, getting up at, 2-3 o'clock in the morning and getting down to the race retreat. Well, not even a race retreat anymore, but sort of like the loading zones and getting into your corrals. It's exciting. My wife ran a virtual New York marathon last year. And it was like, she was excited, but it was like, she just ran around the neighborhood.
I have some friends, my physical therapist is doing virtual Boston, and she's part of a big running community, and they're zazzing it up, they're having people cheer at different places, but it's not quite the same, I said after marathon 6, I'm not going to do this again because it's like another job. It really is like another, I have another job again. And for me, the payoff is doing this in the parks. And I think I did Boston to raise money for a good cause. I don't know. I might do it again. It was hard though. It's a hard endeavor, but to run through the parks is just, that's the only reason I'll get up and go to our rail trail and run 10, 15, 20 miles.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be interesting because I think my friend Nate also had mentioned that he was a little concerned at this point about the COVID numbers down there and what they were going to be doing and if I had concerns. And, I guess we're going to, I think the trial run is going to be wine and dine. So I will see what they do.
I don't think there's a lot of data about races and COVID that I've ever read. Have you guys ever read any?
I mean, New York is going to be in the beginning of November, right? And then it's and then soon after it's wine and dine. So it's going to be interesting, but New York is different from Florida. I mean, Florida's numbers are through the roof because nobody wants to get vaccinated or wear a mask. And then up here in the tri-state area, everybody was like, no, we need to do this. And if you look at the maps that you see online, like New York Times or whatever, it's like dark red in the south and like bright yellow in the north. And so I feel New York run is much safer again.
Good point.
I don't know. So we'll have to see. It's very interesting. But the good part was that they revealed some really nice medals.
Oh, those medals are really, really beautiful. Like multicolored and
spinning.
Everything spins. And
yeah.
What was interesting.
Did you notice?
Do you display your medals? I don't display mine.
I don't. We literally have like 50 of them in a drawer somewhere. We don't really display. Yeah. But
gosh, they're gorgeous.
What was interesting is I think this is the first time. So if you look on the Mickey ones, it's Mickey on the front. So for the marathon, on the back, it's Minnie.
Yeah.
And then for the half, it's Donald and Daisy. And then it's. What is it? Is it Minnie on the 10K? And then Pluto on the 5. And then it's obviously Goofy spins, and then Dopey kind of wavers, it's like a boing kind of feeling to it.
Is that what it is? Is that like a cartoon word?
It's like a boing. That's my term. That's what I'm kind of call it now, is a boing sign.
There's let's see. The 5K is Pluto, and Goofy is
Goofy.
Obviously, the Goofy.
It's Minnie, right? Minnie's always been the 10K.
It isn't. It's Osborne.
That's right. Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Osborne. I'm thinking
Osborne Lights.
Oswald. Yeah, Osborne Lights. Yeah, it's Oswald. And the other cool thing is. Just a round medal. His leg kind of jumps out of the scene.
Yeah.
So.
And his ears?
And his ears do not, but okay. His leg jumps out of the scene.
All I want to know is Becky now going to run that 10K? Did she sign up for that? Because like that's her favorite character. So,
and the 5K is a like a non, it's like a polygon that is like a non. it's interesting. It's not. It's kind of like a hexagon that's a little weird. So they're different shapes too.
Right.
The goofy and the full are round, but then the dopey is sort of, I don't know, looks like a kind of like a kettle ball. So anyway, really, really interesting medals. They up their medal game here.
Multicolored. They sort of match the 50th anniversary colors. So they really kind of have the synergy going. And
another thing is all of the ribbons are different colors too, and really decorated in a really pretty way. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to receiving mine. Hopefully
the dopey is spectacular, I have to say.
Yeah,
I'm not regretting because I really don't want to do that, but dopey is holding all the medals in his hand, so he's got he's got a little 3.1, 6.2, 13.1, and 26.2 that he's holding, and it's really, really spectacular.
So that medal is wrong. He should have 6 medals.
Hmm.
No, he just has all the distances run for the dopey. Okay. Yeah.
If you run dopey, don't you get 6 medals?
Yeah, you do. You do. You get the goofy, and then you get another dopey, but it just shows all the things that you ran. So
So it's amazing. I'm looking forward to, again. I hope the numbers come down. I hope people start, you know, vaccinating and masking, and you know, I just can't imagine trying to figure out the mask protocol. And like, it was bad enough to deal with people trying to put on masks in the queues because the people would keep taking them off. When we were down there. I can only imagine at these races the logistics of trying to figure that out. So
honestly, I was again teaching today, and I was getting excited talking about science education as one does.
Of course.
And I was getting like a little out of breath because I had the mask on. I'm trying to like talk to them about kids, and I'm like walking around the room, and I thought, oh my God, if I had to run with this thing, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could do it.
Well,
in the corrals is one thing, but
I would hope that once you get, but it's, you know, whatever. Let's hope the Wine and Dine proves to us that it's a worthy event and we can keep going and stuff. But
the Wine and Dine is probably like a dress rehearsal for Marathon Weekend.
That's my thought.
But I think that you've got an issue with social distancing because, you know, we all know what it's like just getting to the corrals and then you're in the corrals. And are you going to wear a mask while you run? And what about the water stops? And what about at the end when you come and you're getting your box and everything and everybody's waiting for their runner? That's a madhouse. I see it as a super spreader. And
or the expo.
The expo. Yeah, I don't know how. That expo is probably another issue that they probably should try to get people to schedule when they'll be there. So, for instance, taking your last—that's
a good idea.
Taking your last name begin whatever your last name begins with, or your race number. That's the only time you can pick up your bib, and it's the only time you can be at the expo. You know, you can go to the expo only once.
But that can't be because some people fly in just to do the marathon, and then they fly out, right? So. Some people do or are doing all the races. Some people are doing, you know, the 5K and the half marathon. So
we have family members doing the half, some doing the goofy, you know. Do you show up early and you can't, you have to go back the next day for the next thing? I mean, yeah, it's just a little crazy, but
We'll see what happens. We'll see.
Yeah, we're gonna have to see how they handle it all, but it should be a pretty interesting move.
Do either of you think that there would be some type of threshold or flag that could happen between now and January that would make them cancel Marathon Weekend, or do you think it's, you know, hell or high water?
Disney,
we're gonna do it,
or Florida,
Disney.
They've got Disney. So much money invested in this thing.
And the reason why I say that, Chris, is because there's a lot of concern about college football starting this weekend. Sure. Especially University of Georgia, I guess that's a big deal. And my thought is this, as we go into college football, and I think college football is going to be more of an issue than professional football, but by Thanksgiving, we may have an indication as to whether or not these crowd gatherings are going to be an issue. So I'm just wondering if Disney has a magic date that they're thinking maybe by Thanksgiving, it's either go forward or not. But since they revealed the medals, I think they're going mm-hmm. for it.
So, you know, one of the things, if we consider that these race directors, just like in college football, they all talk to each other. I know that the director of the Boston Marathon is friends with John Hughes, who is the director of the Disney races. And I bet these big races all look at different protocols. So for instance, the Boston Marathon has a virtual component, has a live component. Usually the Boston Marathon, if my numbers are correct, has about 26 or 30,000 runners. Now it has 20,000 this year. So how do we keep people safe? How do we keep runners safe? How do we keep spectators safe? So they're all sharing the different protocols with each other. And I'm volunteering, so I'm really curious about how they're going to keep us safe too, because I'm actually going to be volunteering inside. So I'm sure they're looking at discussing with each other and talking with each other about how to do all these things.
They might be, but we're talking apples and oranges. Marathon weekend is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're talking about gatherings all 4 days. We're also talking about expo all 4 days. We're also talking about the parks. We're talking about restaurants. We're talking about a large group of people. We know that it's somewhere in the vicinity of 65,000 runners that are going to be participating in a race either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or all four, or some combination thereof. So it's different between... There's a difference between a one-day event and a huge event that's going to result in people gathering throughout. I mean, we saw crowds, Chris Sardra and the boys, they saw crowds in the summer. We saw crowds in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. But when you talk about the corrals, you know, they're going to be, there's, having run Boston, the corrals are much bigger. And they're in waves, you know, instead of A, B, C, D, they're different waves. You know, you're in wave number one and wave number two. I've got to think, I know there are a lot of things that are outside of the race experience that they can't control, but I've got to think that they're sharing. How do you do an expo and make it safe? Because the Boston Marathon Expo, you've been to that, Mike, haven't you?
Yes,
yeah. It's a huge deal.
It's crowded like crazy.
It's a huge convention center, just like the Disney one. So they have to be sharing. And for Boston, it's an A to B, you know, point to point type of race versus Disney, which is a loop. So they have to be sharing.
My guess is that if I was the director, I would probably try to get as many waves within each corral as possible. I would try to limit the amount of people in a wave and try to keep it from where, well, you guys know, you get into a corral and you're trying to get, you know, a good spot and everything, and it's very, very crowded. So I have a question. Are you guys going to run with masks?
No.
No?
No. I'll stay in the corral with masks, but...
I was going to say, I can hardly teach
a whole three-hour science lesson.
Yeah. You know? The interesting, too, is you discussed numbers. I don't think they've given out what the numbers were that they were signing up for. Everything is sold out but the Goofy and the Dopey, so I don't know what that means. I don't know how many people are, like, did they cap it at somewhere? Obviously they did, because it sold out. Is it less than previous events? I don't know. So maybe
it was priced that high. I mean, I thought that the pricing was surprisingly low. So I didn't think that
Dopey was 600. I don't know. And then
Goofy 450, something like that. No?
Yeah. I 480 maybe. So,
that's
somewhere
what
in that
virtual was. That's what the virtual was. It's the same as the virtual.
Hold on. Well, no, that was the virtual.
No, that was the Dopey. Dopey. Yeah, that was the Dopey.
Yeah.
So where Boston has decreased the number of people, I guess you're saying, Disney hasn't announced.
Yeah, the Dopey was 600. The Goofy was 390. Oh, it looks like the Goofy has sold out and the marathon is still available. I was wrong. So it's Dopey and the Marathon are still available.
But we won't know exactly how many are running until they start
happening.
Allowing you to look for your bib number.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. But all right. So moving on, I think. Oh, man, people are going to be excited that we actually talked about Run Disney on the show that talks supposed to talk about running. The next thing up, which is interesting, and when I was down, I was actually in the parks when this news dropped, was the Genie system, the new app that Disney is providing for their parks. And I to be honest with you guys, Mike, I was read what they were planning to do, and I got ticked. I don't know about you, but I was annoyed. I was like, oh, they're going to start charging for things they used to give away for free. But I did not put a lot of effort into looking into this. So can you kind of give me a primer? What's the difference between the Genie and the Genie Plus?
So I think that one of the reasons that you would hear from Disney for doing this is to help the guests plan their day, to organize their itineraries, and to make their park navigation a little bit more efficient. So the Genie is going to be incorporated in My Disney Experience, and it's going to be incorporated in that app so that you can plan your day. And I don't know if that's going to be something that really is going to happen, because they want to be able to, and apparently I know 10, 11 years ago, they did not do a good job of this. They are trying to fix it so that you will know the wait times for certain attractions, so that you can map out your day and you can get an idea what the wait times are. So the Genie part of this is just to do things like get itinerary updates, so you'll know how things are with, let's say you're in the Magic Kingdom, you know, how's Splash Mountain, how's Space Mountain doing, what's Pirates, and so you get an idea. This is the thing that I'm not sure about, Chris and Michelle. The Genie app is supposed to forecast wait times, and I don't know if you can do that. I think that you can make a guess as to, you know, what the wait times are going to be, but people change their minds constantly during the day, and they can't say, well, at 2 o'clock, the wait time at Pirates is going to be 20 minutes, when all of a sudden there could be a whole bunch of people getting off Jungle Cruise or whatever, and they're all going over to Pirates. It's really crazy. So that's part of this carrot for getting people to accept Genie. It's going to help them plan their itinerary so that they don't have to walk to the wait board to see what the wait times are. I mean, there's a wait board in every park, but this way they have the wait board in their hands. So that's one of the things they are looking for. It also is going to help you. I guess they're going to streamline the virtual queue operation, and also they're doing something to help you make dining reservations a lot easier. And I'm sure mobile ordering is also going to be part of it. So it's basically going to be your virtual assistant, and they've just streamlined My Disney Experience. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Now that's just Genie, okay? Now when you talk about Genie Plus, now we're getting into the Fast Pass replacement. And Genie Plus has two options to it. One is it's called just Genie Plus service. And that's the one, Chris, where, so for like you and Audra and the boys, you would pay $15 per day
per
ticket,
yeah,
per person. Okay. That's at Disney World. At Disneyland, it's like $20. And it'll tell you the next available time to arrive at experiences, any kind of attractions using the Lightning Lane entrance.
Does it reserve a space for you in the Lightning Lane? Or it tells you?
Well, here's the thing. You got to remember that this is not all the attractions in a park. This is going to be something like, for the Magic Kingdom.
At least it was 40 total for the Disney World parks. There's 40 attractions for the Disney Plus, and then the Lightning Lane was going to be additional rides, different rides, right?
So, yeah, but the thing is that you have to keep in mind there's one more tier. There's Disney Genie Plus, and then there's another tier, which is, I want to call it the Plus Plus, but it's called the Individual Attraction Selection. That's the one where it'll cost you anywhere from $4 to $24 per attraction per person.
In addition to your regular admission
right.
price.
Right. And so there's all kinds of speculation. Obviously, the three of us know right off the bat, Rise of the Resistance will be part of that. Right. Slinky Dog could be part of that. Tower of Terror could be part of that. The mountains, the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Tron will probably be that when it comes online. Ratatouille will probably be that.
What it's saying is the Genie Plus is $15 for like these 40 attractions, but you can also do an a la carte, which is individual, right? So you can basically pick and choose which attractions you want to go on and pay that individually, right? Like that's basically what the individual attract. I mean, I'm sure you don't even know. Like a lot of this stuff is sort of like, we're all kind of guessing, but it sounds like it's an a la carte. Like, all right, well, I don't need the Genie Plus for everything. I just want to go on Rise of the Resistance. I'm going to choose that one and pay the $24 to get on there or whatever.
What I'm not clear about, Chris, is that I think the Disney Plus service allows you to do, I think it's going to allow you, I'm still not clear about this. I think it
nobody
will
is, by the way. Rise. We should also point out that like a lot of people, yeah. they haven't fully given us and rolled out all the information. So take it with a grain of salt what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. So what I've read in some areas is that there are certain headline attractions that are not included as part of the Genie Plus. And that's what I think a lot of people aren't sure of. So Disney has come out and said Rise of the Resistance, Ratatouille, Seven Dwarfs, they're not going to be part of Genie Plus. And they're going to require that individual attraction selection, which is going to run you anywhere from $4 to $24 per person per attraction to do that. So they've obviously understood which attractions are going to be the most popular and where they can generate some revenue. So it'll be interesting once Genie is released the first week in October. I'm expecting it to happen sometime around the 5th, 6th, or 7th. That when everybody opens their My Disney Experience, you're going to find out which attractions are going to be part of Genie Plus, which attractions are going to be part of this pay to ride area, the individual attraction selection. And I'm sure there's going to be some yelling and screaming. And
well, there's already yelling and screaming because it's just basically you're getting charged extra for the thing that you used to get for free. But so then what's the Lightning Lane, which that we started to see signs go up this week. They showed Rise of the Resistance having a Lightning Lane put in. What's the difference between Lightning Lane and Genie Plus and the individual attractions? What's Lightning Lane, which you think should have had a different name?
Yeah, I thought they should have used Dash Incredible. They could have used the name of something called the Dash Lane, but Disney didn't confer with me. So. Yeah,
Disney
so
Dash.
I think that. The Lightning Lane is for both the Disney Genie Plus and the individual attraction selections. But what I don't understand is this. It almost makes me think that maybe there are two Lightning Lanes, one for the Disney Genie Plus service and one for the individual attraction. So, for instance, if I'm paying $15 a day per ticket and I want to get on Pirates, and Michelle decides to pay $8 to get on Pirates, shouldn't she have preference over me.
So don't you think it is you pay and then they tell you a time to come back and then everybody comes in the lightning lane? It's like fast pass, but you're paying for it and they tell you when to come back.
I think so.
So why wouldn't everybody just be in the lightning lane?
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, I guess they would. Mm. It's just that you've got two different...
On your app, it's just going to say, come back at 2:15.
So you're saying...
No matter how you get there, everyone shows up.
So it's going to be 2:15. It's fast pass, but you're paying. You're either paying a little or you're paying a lot.
So are you saying Genie Plus tells you when... And you're saying individual attraction selection is on demand?
I'm basing this on our experience with Rise of the Resistance, where they told us exactly how many minutes to come back. They said, 60 minutes, 30 minutes, come back. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking that the Genie Plus on the My Disney Experience app, however you pay for it, will say, get into the lightning lane at 11:15.
It's really crazy.
Does that make sense?
It does. They're still going to have virtual queues. So, I mean, you've got three different ways of getting on. You've got four different ways: standby, lightning, regular Genie Plus, individual attractions, and virtual queue. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing works.
Yeah.
They could fall flat on their face.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of data. Obviously, they probably have more data than anybody on their own park, so they know where people are moving, when they're moving, how to do things. But yeah, they weren't very forthcoming in this. Like, I watched a few videos discussing this new system, and a lot of them were just people going, I don't know what that means. Like, yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Like, what it is, but...
What you're saying really speaks to something that I saw popping up, especially in the studios, which is these little kiosks where the cast members are called guest experience, like, areas. And it's people saying, like, WTF. Like, I don't understand how to do this or how I should do this or why I didn't do it. Or, you know, it was little mini kiosks of cast members sort of explaining to people what they're supposed to be doing and why they're doing it and how much it will cost. So I think we're going to see that in every, I understand in Star Wars Land, it was a big deal, Rise of the Resistance and Millennium Falcon, but I predict we're going to see this popping up in other parks too, where people just don't get it.
If everyone will bear with me, I will read the language that Disney has put out to explain the two of them. So first, one describes Genie Plus service, and they say, for the price of $15 per day per ticket at Walt Disney World, you choose the next available time, and there's the first question, what does that mean, to arrive at a variety of attractions and experiences using the Lightning Lane entrance. It says you make one selection at a time throughout the day, and this convenient option is the next evolution of the fan favorite Disney Max Pass service in the Disneyland Resort. And I'm not even going to get into
Disneyland,
that.
Disneyland, you can sign up for Max Pass the day of. You can go in. You used to be able to go in there and sign up for that.
This reminds me of the old ticket system they used to have for the Fast Pass, where you would get your Fast Pass for this ride, and until the time that you were done, you could not get the next. So in essence, it's working that way, but for money. So like you go to the Magic Kingdom, you decide you want to get a Genie Plus. I don't even know what you want to call it, but you get a Fast Pass Lightning Lane for Splash Mountain, and it goes from 9 until 10 is your time to go. Okay, you get on it. You're off at 10 o'clock. You can now pick the next one where you want to go on Space Mountain. So then you have to wait until 11 o'clock, and you got to run over there. Maybe do a couple things in between. It's the same old system, but now you're paying $15 a thing, as opposed to the three at a time. Remember, you could plan three ahead of time and then go one after, but now it's the individual, right?
It's something very interesting. I'm just looking at the two options. And in the first one, the Genie Plus, it says you can choose the next available time. And then for the individual attraction one, it says schedule a time to arrive, up to two highly demanding attractions, you know, like the Seven Dwarfs Mine.
Oh, the individual, you can only do two. You can only choose two attractions, right? Because it's saying arrive up to two highly demanded attractions.
Schedule a time to arrive
day.
Up to two highly demanded.
So you can only do two. So individual is only for two attractions. Like you can't just individually pay for all the best ones that you want to get onto and run every single one. You only get two max per park.
Which is interesting because I think they're very sensitive to the queue lines. I think they're very sensitive to people's reaction. And think of it another way, Chris. By limiting it to two, that means that, well, then that means the guests won't be spending their time in line at attractions. Maybe they'll be buying souvenirs, or maybe they'll be buying a bottle of water for $20, or maybe they'll be, you know, going to a restaurant. So I think this is going to be interesting to see what type of comments we hear from guests during the month of October, and see if this is something that needs to be tweaked. They waited a long time.
Basically, you have to have a credit card attached to my Disney experience. All these extra things.
Yeah, no matter what.
Is that two in one park?
It doesn't say, but it says two highly demanded. I would assume it could be any park. Because they're going to, you know, obviously allow you to park hop, but two highly demanded attractions each day. So the Lightning Lane, when they call it Lightning Lane, it's just basically it's the Fast Pass entrance. They're just calling it Lightning Lane now. It's not a separate thing, right? It's just.
I don't understand the connection between Lightning Lane and Genie. And I think if they had just.
I think the Lightning Lane is just the name of the secret entrance to get in for any of these other, the Genie Plus and the individual attractions selection.
Yep.
But Michelle, man, tell me, like, are you annoyed that you'd have to pay to get into these extra, like, into these attractions on a?
Well, you know, it's only me. If I had four people, if I had six people, it really makes it something that is based on your.
It's $60 an extra if you're four people.
So I'm sorry. Basically, that's what it is. And, you know, I think that's what it has been in Universal. And it's one of the things, and I enjoy Universal, but it's one of the things that I've always said, oh, well, Disney, it's a lot more equal. You know, people get a shot. They can run to the Fast Pass lane, or they can whatever. And now it's really, if you have deep pockets, you're going to be able to do this for your family. And it just makes me sad. It really does make me sad.
Yeah. We're going to have to go back and review this as we go along further, as we get more information, because I know they're not really giving a lot of information about which attractions and stuff like that. And I think we should keep revisiting this and see where it goes. But Mike, go ahead.
I just going to throw up one more thing in connection to what we were talking earlier about the race. And, you know, when you do the marathon, when you run past the Animal Kingdom, you want to go in and run and ride Everest. Are you going to need a Genie? Are you going to need a Genie Plus thing or the attraction selection to do that? Or?
Unless you want to wait on the standby line and wait. I mean, it should be early enough in the morning.
You're being timed, you know, you don't want to.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. You know, and that's the other thing too, Mike, before we move on, and we probably have a limited time anyway, but you and I have had this discussion, and Michelle as well. The age of spontaneity at the Disney parks is now gone, officially gone. There's like, you cannot plan a trip without picking out every bit of minutia. You have to pick out your dining, you have to pick out your park selection, you have to pick out attractions, you have to decide if you want to spend an extra $60 if you have four people in your family every single day, or do you want to do it certain days. Are there days when you want to go on that Rise of the Resistance? Do you want to pay the extra $24 to get on there? I mean, these are all things that we're going to have to start planning way ahead of time, and it kind of loses the magic of that spontaneity, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of a situation where, let's say you've got a family of four, and okay, gang, today is Thursday, and we are scheduled to go to the Animal Kingdom theme park, and we're going to eat at these restaurants, and we're going to go to these attractions. Oh my God, it's a downpour. Well, guess what? You still have to go to the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
You still have to go to those restaurants.
You paid
that
money.
Yeah, unless, and you can't change it because you're past that 24-hour period. So you can't say, you know, instead of going there, why don't we go to the Magic Kingdom where we can duck in and out of the rain? Or we can go to Epcot, we can duck in and out of the rain. Hmm. You can't, you can't.
Plus, they didn't say how far in advance can you order your Disney, your Genie Plus? Like, can you order it for the day at like 7 o'clock in the morning? Can you order it like when you walk in the park? Like, is there, you know, at 5 o'clock, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're like, you know what? I want to just hit all these rides really quick. Again, that was another thing they haven't really mentioned. So we'll have to see how they do this. But one last thing, we're going to run out of time, so we're going to keep this really short, Mike. But those hard ticket events, those, the Boo Bashes and the Very Merriest, why they had to change that, I don't know. There was some more stuff we wanted to talk about.
They
them,
changed it because it's less.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something. I've been reading a few reviews and experiences from people, and just wanted people to understand something, and that is that, you know, it's a limited amount of time. It's 3 hours, I think, or maybe four, and it's very expensive, and it depends upon what you want to get out of the parade, what you want to get out of the party. Some people see this as an opportunity to get on a lot of attractions because there aren't that many people in the park. I know that they used to cap these parties at 25,000. I don't know if they're doing that now. But one of the issues that I saw on one review is that they don't have Boo-to-You Parade, but they have a lot of cavalcades. But if you want to see a cavalcade, you need to be in a certain spot at a certain time. And so one person said that for each cavalcade that he and his family wanted to watch, they had to commit to 20 minutes. And there were a lot of cavalcades, and you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to do cavalcades or you're going to do attractions. So I think that in regards to the price, you're paying a lot of money, just like you are with Genie Plus, to get on attractions. I would assume that the Genie Plus does not apply, you know, during a Boo Bash or a Very Merriest Christmas party. But I wanted to mention that I've seen in the reviews, and I would encourage people to look on forums and try to find out more about how these parades have been received by people, if they feel it was worth it, if they got their money's worth in terms of getting on attractions. I guess it's all what you want out of it. When I used to do when we would do the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, I really didn't care about attractions. I cared about, yeah, the attractions would be nice if you could fit them in, but the parades, the
fireworks,
candy, the fireworks, the shows, that was part of it. It seems like that's not part of this series of parades for this year, and it's kind of disappointing. But I just thought it'd be good to mention that. Again, I encourage people to go on forums, Disney forums, and look for discussions on the Boo Bash parade, on Boo Bash party, and see if it's something that would work for you.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for today's episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to continue this conversation, please join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. A little extra note just to say, please do everyone in the world a favor. Get yourself vaccinated or wear a mask when you're outside. Save the world.
Yeah.
So on behalf of Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, Mike Scopa, and Chris Heliopoulos, we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.